Proverbs 19, it says that houses and lands are from parents, are inherited from parents, but a good wife is from the Lord. A good wife is from the Lord. She's a gift from God, amen? I mean, you guys know that. The crazy thing is that you realize it when you tell your wife, hey, we're going to go to St. Louis. You realize it when she chooses to trust the Lord and even like willing to lay down all the blessing. I mean, I thought it was tough for me, right? You know, it's like, oh man, I got to lay everything down. Well, think about how hard it is for her, right? And she didn't have the dream, but she has heard from the Lord, but she trusts me. She trusts I'm hearing the Lord, right? You guys get to stay here. She's going to follow me. But that's amazing, right? Just like Ephesians chapter 5 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, right? The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. So wives, be subject to your own husbands as the church is subject to Christ. Just like we follow Jesus. Oh my goodness, I have a wife, good wife, for many reasons, she's a good wife. But can you imagine that? What faith does it take for her to lay everything down and for her to even say, she knows we're going to an urban area, and she said, you know, I'm not looking at houses. I'm not thinking about those things. I surrendered it to the Lord because I can't go down that road. She knows. Neither can I. We have to lay everything down and just trust. Lord will provide. Lord will bless. And she's doing it. She's doing it for him, not just for me, of course. She's doing it because she's a partner with me in ministry. You guys know that she's a co-pastor. You guys know she's a rev, right? She's a reverend. You know she's ordained. Maybe some of you don't maybe realize that. She is a reverend. She is ordained. So she is my, so I thought it was just going to, I was like joking that I got a church planning team, Michelle and my wife, and 3 kids. But now I got a bigger church planning team. We have to start meeting church planning team, right? The Rose, the John Paul and Nancy will partner with us. And so it's cool. So anyways, if you haven't taken level one, love to teach you in level one. Important to you next Sunday. And then also next Sunday, we're going to be honoring leaders and team members. Kurt didn't know this. So we're going to have dessert and fruit afterwards just to honor all those who serve and volunteer and all that. We appreciate you. And I'm going to honor the leaders and such next week. All right. So that's another announcement that we hadn't really planned. All right. So let's get into our series here. I know you guys want to get into the Word of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we're learning how to perfect our faith. Most of you remember that this series is a series where Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, is perfecting our faith. Can you grow your faith? Can you go from little faith to great faith? From a lack of faith to perfect faith? Oh, yes, you can. And if you didn't catch those messages, pick them up on CD or go to the podcast, because the Bible makes it very clear. You can come to Jesus and have little faith. You can have lack of faith. You can have wrong mindsets. You can have rocks and thorns in your soil. And Jesus, who is the author of your and the finisher of your faith, will disciple you and perfect your faith. You and I can and we need to grow our faith. We need to perfect our faith. Because, as we sang today, faith has access to all the power of God. Faith has access. Nothing is impossible to the one who believes. We're not talking about Christmas magic. We're not talking about believing in yourself. We're talking about believing in Jesus. Power that's released, but it's our faith, right? Just like the electricity is coming from some nuclear power plant, but we have to turn on the switch. We flip the switch. It's our responsibility to believe God and to put our trust in Him, but it's His power, not our power. And so what we're learning is that He is faithful and He is all-powerful. His word is true and His word cannot return void. His word is forever settled in heaven. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. He is absolutely faithful every time without fail. His word and He will never fail. But it's our faith that needs to get up to the point where He's at. So how do you do that? We've talked about the fact that this is a process. When you see a lack of faith in you, you don't beat yourself up, you don't live in shame and condemnation, you don't blame God, you don't blame others, you don't change your theology, you don't lower your expectations. What we're tempted to do, all of those things. Have I done those things? All of them. And more. But we don't do those things. No, instead, we come to Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, and you say, Lord, disciple me. So this series is, practically, the next number of messages are, how do we do that? How do we do that? So starting in Romans 10, Father, we ask that you would speak, that you would reveal yourself to us, and quickly, I pray, Father, there will be a breakthrough in our faith, but also I pray seal some of these things I'm going to talk about today as a lifestyle commitment in our hearts. I pray translate these things, Lord, to people's own language and into their own time, daily schedule, and habits in the name of Jesus. Amen. So starting off in Romans 10, we'll start in verse 13. The Apostle Paul is talking about faith. He's been talking about faith for multiple chapters. I'm just going to pick a few verses out of it just to make the point. Romans 10, verse 13, Paul says this, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, by the way, the context of this is actually talking about how Israel has rejected the gospel, the ethnic people of Israel. Not all of them have rejected, but in the time of Paul, he was preaching the gospel to Gentiles, and a bunch of them were getting saved, and some Jews are getting saved, and a bunch of Jewish people, ethnic Israel, were rejecting the gospel. Okay, the first believers were Jewish, but then there was a number of Jewish leaders and Jewish people who rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And Paul's explaining that whole dynamic. And that's what he means, by the way, in verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. He's saying that, no, Israel has not obeyed the gospel, even though they've heard it. But in this whole context, he's explaining how faith works. He's explaining how one gets saved. Just the verses before this, in verse 13, you see, he who calls, or she, the one who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the promise. That's the promise that if you, with faith in your heart, that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, confessing, you are my Lord, I need you, save me, forgive me of my sin, the Bible says you will be saved. And by the way, that word saved is also the word for healed and delivered and rescued and all that. And so anyone in any circumstance going through whatever, both for your eternal salvation as well as for the blessings and the promises of God and the deliverance and the freedom that you need and the healing you need in your life, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, believing in your heart, confessing with you, you will be saved. That's what Paul says. But then he goes on to explain how this faith works. And so he explains, but how can they call? How can they cry out to God, the true God, in the name of Jesus? Right? How can they call upon the name of Jesus if they don't know who he is? And if they don't believe that he actually is faithful, willing, and able, how can they call, he says, in whom they have not believed? Believed. The calling and the believing go hand in hand. You can't just throw some words out there magically. Abacadabra or whatever, you know. I can't say it. Well, I'm really having a hard time with my enunciation this morning. Because all that worship and yelling and preaching already. You can't just throw words out there and think that God's some magic potion or genie. No, he's saying it's believing in who Jesus is, what he has promised and said in his word, who he is according to the word of God. But Paul's saying, how can they call upon his name? How can they cry out to Jesus the Christ, who is the Nazarene, who was crucified under Pontius Pilate and died and rose again? How can they call upon him if they don't believe in him? And then he says, well, how can they believe in him if they have not heard? Heard what? The gospel of peace, the gospel of the kingdom, the message that Jesus died and rose again, that all our sins can be forgiven in Christ, all that, right? That he's the healer, that he's the savior, that he's the king, that he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. How can they believe if they don't hear? And how can they hear? And how can they call upon him if they don't believe? And how can they believe if they don't hear? And how can they hear if they don't have a preacher? Somebody has to go to them. Whether it be on a Sunday morning like this, or whether it be at your workplace, or your friends, your family members, whatever, they have to hear the gospel, and so therefore they need a messenger. Not a tract, although tracts aren't bad. That could be good too. Not just a video even. Even like TV and all that gospel going out to the nations on TV and the internet. It's all good, but it's just a tool. It still needs a person. It needs a person, right? To make that video, I guess, you know, and to produce that and to get the gospel out there. But he's saying they need a preacher. And then, of course, he says, and how can they preach if they're not sent? That preacher has to be anointed, a sent one. Do you remember Jesus said to all his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, right? And then there are various individuals that get sent, like Jesus telling me to go to St. Louis, or the Apostle Paul being told to go to the various Gentile cities and plant churches as well. The point is that we need to be sent. You and I need to hear from the Lord our calling. And here's your calling, go make disciples of all nations. But where are you sent? Who are you called to? And we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Jesus even said to his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you and he'll give you power to preach the gospel. Every one of us, we need to have that anointing so that we can go and proclaim the gospel to people. And when we proclaim the gospel to people, they'll hear the gospel. When they hear the gospel, they will believe. And when they believe, they will call upon the name of the Lord and they can be saved. He goes on then, he's saying in verse 16, well, they've not all obeyed the gospel. They've heard it, but they have not obeyed it. But in verse 17, it's a conclusion. So he's giving a summary of everything he just said, everything I just explained in verse 17 is the summary. So then, I've just explained to you that if you'll believe and cry out to Jesus, you will be saved. You'll be delivered, healed, all that. The blessings of God will come when you believe and when you cry out to the Lord. So then, he's telling you, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So Paul stutters. Just joking. You don't really stutter when you're writing, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why does he have two hearings there? Hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. What does he mean there? See, he's telling us how faith comes. Faith comes when the gospel is preached to us. When the gospel is preached to us, it creates something inside of us that was not there before. Faith. The gospel, the word of God, is God's grace to us who don't believe. Sometimes you'll hear people say, faith is a gift from God. It's great. Well, absolutely. Faith is absolutely a grace from God. How does he do it? He gives you his word. And it awakens and creates and produces faith on the inside of you. Now, you still have a choice what you're going to do with it and how you respond. But it's absolutely something that you did not have before he came and preached to you. You need a preacher. He chose you before the foundation of the world, but someone had to come to you and proclaim the gospel to you, and through that person who preached the gospel to you, God called you to himself. In fact, I've told people many times, if you're hearing my voice, he's inviting you to be saved. People will say, how do I know he wants me? Because I'm talking to you right now. He loves you, and he wants you to be his, and he wants to forgive you and heal you and deliver you. But how can you believe unless someone tells you that? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The first hearing is the hearing of the heart. The hearing with ears of faith. The hearing that comes with revelation. When God, on the inside of you, shines the light on the inside of you and gives you understanding on the inside of you, revelation on the inside of you. And it's no longer just true about God or true of others or true in the Bible. It's now true for you. The other hearing is how that revelation comes. So then faith comes by hearing God speak to you, hearing that revelation, and hearing by the word of God. How is it that you're going to hear the Lord? How is it that you're going to receive revelation? How is it that you're going to get that breakthrough where you're like, ah, it's the aha moment? How do you get that? By hearing the word of God. By hearing the word of God. Jesus says it this way. You guys have heard this probably in Luke chapter 8, verse 8. You remember Jesus says it this way, after he finishes the parables, he often would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Is he talking just about these guys? He's talking about the ears of your heart. In fact, he explains it, by the way, doesn't he? He explains it. If you read the context, you can do it later. He says, because they have eyes, but they do not see. He's not talking about physical sight. They have ears, but they do not hear. He's not talking about physical hearing. And they have a heart, but they don't understand. Their heart is hard, he says. And he says it's hard, and they cannot be healed. Same word, healed, saved, delivered. They can't receive what I want to give them because their eyes are blind and their ears are deaf. But he's not talking about physical hearing. Paul is saying the same thing that Jesus did. Do you have ears to hear what I'm saying? Are you actually listening to me? Are you listening with your heart? Are you receiving what God is trying to give you? But how do you receive what God is trying to give you? How do you receive revelation? By hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Are you actually listening to him? Receiving revelation from God. Do you have understanding on the inside of you? Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear? And hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. See, revelation happens when what's true about God becomes true for you. Otherwise, it's just a theory. I know that God split the Red Sea. I know that God created everything. Oh, I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I know. That kind of way of thinking and talking can actually be the greatest hindrance to you getting a breakthrough in your life. Because what you think you know can actually hinder you from humbling your heart and receiving revelation from God by faith. As long as you think that knowing these things, intellectually giving assent to them, acknowledging them, it's a good start, it's a good step forward, but it's not what Paul's talking about. It's not what Paul's talking about. It's not what Jesus is talking about. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Revelation happens when what is true of God becomes true for you specifically, personally. It's when truth becomes personalized to you. I don't mean that you get to make stuff up. No, that's called heresy. Revelation is when what has always been true, the eternal reality of God, becomes true for you. What I mean is, he didn't just split the Red Sea. He didn't just rain manna from heaven. Will God come through for you this time, today, now, for you, in your life, right now, for you? Do you get what I'm trying? You get what I'm getting at? I'm trying to. Is he your God? Did he say those things to you? Is it true for you? Did he die for your sin? Will he forgive you of your sin if you confess it? Will he provide your need according to his riches and glory? All of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, right? Through us, to the glory of God. As we say amen. It's not faith to say, I know God. I already know that. I already know that. I know that already. I already know that. I already heard that story. I already heard that Bible story. I already heard that one preached. That's not faith. That's not faith. Don't fool yourself. I'm only saying this because I want you to make a distinction. Because if you think that's faith, you won't be hungry to press into faith. And you'll wonder why, even though you know all these things about God and all these Bible stories and all these things that are theories to you, you wonder why God is not coming through for you and you think there's something wrong with God. You're thinking, this whole Christianity thing is like this like fake, you know, Gucci purse or something. No, no, you just bought the wrong one. And you've convinced yourself that you have the real deal. And until you realize, I don't have the real Gucci purse, you're not going to throw the other one away and get a new one. No, by the way, you can have the fake stuff. It actually looks pretty good and all that. But, bad illustration. Okay. Faith comes by hearing. We need to hear the Lord. We need revelation that he is your God, going to come through for you today, now, in what you're dealing with, that his promises, his word, his truth is for you. That's faith. That's the revelation that comes by faith. The revelation that comes by faith when you realize, no, I've put my trust in Jesus and I'm righteous. I'm dead to sin, alive to God. I'm free from sin. He's for me. He's with me. That's faith. See, most often, we're not convinced, are we? So often, we don't have that kind of faith. I mean, I know, as I'm talking, you're probably thinking, oh, yeah, that's me. I'm all down with God did it last year, but what about today? Oh, I know, God provided for me last year. You know, we were going through something really hard and God came through miraculously. Then why are you worried today? Doesn't mean you don't believe God. Remember, we said last week, you have genuine faith, just you have a lack of faith. You saw him calm a storm, but then when you were walking on it, you started sinking. He called you to another level. You were in this boat, in the storm, and the Lord calmed it for you. Then he called you to walk on it and to take authority over it and walk by faith and not by sight, and you started sinking. And both times, what did he say to the disciples? The second time he said it to Peter, Peter, why did you doubt? Where's that fear coming from in your heart? The point is not shame and condemnation. The point is, here's another level. When you're not convinced that God will come through for you today or in his timing, when I say today, I mean that emphatically, like it's God, he's going to do it. It could be that you got to wait patiently. It's another season. But what I mean is, if you are lacking in believing God is going to do it for you, not for your neighbor. Well, your neighbor too. Believe God for them too. If you have a lack of faith in that moment, praise the Lord and go back to the Word of God. What do you do when you see anxiety, worry, fear, guilt, shame, pride that you think you know, but you really don't know? What do you do? Go back to the Word. Faith comes by hearing. What do you need? You need a revelation. What do you need? You need to be convinced. You need to hear. If I call upon the name of the Lord, I will be saved. God's going to come through for me. You need the kind of hearing with ears of faith. Well, but I don't have that. So what do you need to do? And hearing by the Word of God. You notice it doesn't say, and heard, and past tense, and one time. Hearing. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Sometimes we just got to keep hearing the Word of God over and over and over and over and over and over again. We need to keep hearing the Word of God and keep hearing the Word of God so that we'll catch what he's trying to say to us. This is one of the greatest things. You can come to Jesus with absolutely no faith. Zero. You can come with negative. All he wants you to do is come to him. Never think that you're not worthy of the sacrifice of Jesus. That's why he died for you. He already dealt with that. You come to Jesus, and if you'll give yourself to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to flood your heart, he can produce in you what was never there before. Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes. He can create it. He can awaken it. He can produce it. This is exactly what he did in his ministry. This is exactly what he did when he came. It says in Matthew chapter 4, and it says in verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Did you catch the order? And he came teaching, preaching, healing, teaching, preaching, healing, teaching, preaching, healing. Did Jesus come on the scene and was like, bam, be healed, whaya? Is that what he did? Was he a magician? Did he wiggle his nose? Did he wink his eye? No, he taught the Word. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isn't this what his whole parable was about? I'm coming and I'm casting seed everywhere, everywhere. Some are hard, some are thorny, some are rocky, and some are good soil. But what was he doing? The seed is to produce what is not there. And he's trying to get his Word in the hearts of people. Did you know that if Jesus did not teach, preach, there would be no healings? Maybe a couple, because he could heal them with his own faith. We don't understand how the kingdom works. People would not have reached out to Jesus, cried out to the Lord, reached out and touched the hem of his garment. They would have never done that if he didn't teach and preach. They would have no faith. They would have no expectation. Jesus is not a magician. He didn't come, I am God. Oh, be healed. But I've only come for 3 years. So basically, you've got like this window of opportunity here. We have this window of opportunity, but now for the last 2,000 years, nope, no healing. It has stopped now. It was only when I'm here because I'm the man and you're not. He didn't teach that way. He didn't tell us that. He told us to expect the same thing. Mark 16, you will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. You will command demons to leave and they will leave in my name. You will ask the Father anything in my name and I will give it to you. You will do greater works than these because I go to my Father. He taught us to do the same thing he did on his power. He was doing it on his power and the power of Spirit, but we do it on his power. Why did he do this? Why did he teach, preach, heal? Now, I don't have time, but if I walked you through the entire Gospels, you would see this pattern over and over and over again. Even Isaiah 61, what did he do? He showed up in a town and he would say what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to do what? Preach the good news to the poor. Heal the brokenhearted. Proclaim liberty to the captives. Sight to the blind. And to set the liberty those who are oppressed. Isaiah 61, that's what he would proclaim all the time. Why did he proclaim that? What was he doing? Preaching, proclaiming, I am the one who fulfills this. Are you ready to receive? Faith, listen, faith is simply a response to the faithfulness of God. Faith is a response to the revelation of God's word. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's why I make jokes about it not being Christmas faith and self-faith. That's heresy. It's New Age stuff. We're talking about the revelation of God's word. Your faith is only as strong as the one you're trusting in. And that's what faith is. It's faith in what God said. It's faith in who he says he is and what he has said he will do. And you respond to that word with faith. And what's great is his very word, the same word that created the heavens and the earth. Right? He said, light be, right? The same word that calmed a storm, the same word can create in you faith. His word has the power to produce what you actually need. That's what's so great about God. Do you get what I'm trying to get at? He's so good, he's like, oh, you guys have no faith. I will produce in you what you cannot do on your own. But, did you catch in verse 16 of Romans 10? But they did not all obey the gospel. How you hear the word is essential. So let me just say practically. Number one, what am I saying for you to do in your life? If you see a lack of faith at any moment in your life, you need to go back and hear the word. What you need is Jesus to teach you and disciple you. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you're his disciple, you sit at his feet and you listen to him. So, if you need faith, you go and you listen to Jesus and you let the farmer plant seeds in your heart. And you trust that the word of God will produce faith in you. But, you also have to understand that how you hear is essential. Because you could hear the word of God with your natural ears and completely miss the first hearing. You could be the hard soil, you could be the rocky soil, you could be the thorny soil. And every one of those soils don't get any results. And their unbelief is evidence of their unbelief. Their lack of fruit is evidence of their unbelief is what I mean. Well, I tried God and it didn't work. All you're doing is telling me you didn't actually believe him. I tried that one time. I tried that. That'd be like a guy coming up to like this. Can you imagine like somebody who's been working out for like 20 years, consistent? I don't just mean big. I just mean healthy, you know, strong. And this guy coming up and saying, I tried that working out thing for about a week. It didn't work. Can you imagine how that would sound to a guy who's been consistent over decades? Do you understand? That's kind of how I feel when people tell me that. In pride. I mean, if they tell me that in discouragement, like, dude, I just feel like giving up. Oh, brother, don't give up because it's going to work for you. It's going to work because it's God's word that's going to work for you. But when people come to me and say, and they're offended at God, and they're like, I tried that already. I did that. I'm like, dude, did you persevere for years with nothing? Because that's what I did. Have you been pressing into God for almost 2 decades? Because see, every time I've ever believed God, I see fruit. Every time I've ever taken God at his word, I see breakthrough. I see fruit. God has always done what he said he would do if I would believe him. What has been the problem is my faith. But what's so good about God is when I lack faith, I just come to him and I say, Lord, I need you to build up my faith. How you hear is critical, and it makes all the difference. Because why? His word isn't the variable. His word will create faith if you'll let it. Your heart is the issue. And so listen to what Jesus says even here in Luke 8, is after the let him who has ears to hear. This is after the parable of the four soils. And listen to what Jesus says in response to the parable of the four soils, which are your heart's response. And he says this in Luke 8, verse 15. No, I'm sorry, verse 18. Listen to how he says in Luke 8, 18. Therefore, take heed how you hear. You see that? So, my point is, be careful how you hear the word. If you come to the Bible casually, if you come hard-hearted thinking you know everything, and God's the problem but not me, or I intellectually know everything already, you will likely have a hard heart and miss it. If you come to the word of God thinking that it's just going to happen my way, quickly, no trials, no tribulation, oh, you likely will be disappointed. If you come and you think you can hear God's word a little bit, casually, distractedly, and be flooding your heart with media and Facebook and movies and TV and the deceitfulness of wealth and trusting in all these other things and worrying all the time, but you think you can come to church just every once in a while on a Sunday morning and think it's going to work. It's not going to work. Maybe a little bit over time. Maybe a little bit. But no, Jesus said, those people who come and they hear the word and they're like, yay! And then they go back and on Monday, they're completely back to their speaking death, accusing God, complaining, worrying, flooding their heart with things that are not of God, like the trusting in money. It's crowding out your heart, and you don't have room for the word of God to work, and it's choking your faith. So he says graciously, he says, so take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him will be given more. Meaning to the one who hears with that kind of noble heart, that revelation, oh, they're going to keep getting more. They're going to get more. He's going to build on it. If you get that revelation, oh, God speaks to you and you hold on to that one, he's going to speak to you again, speak to you again, and speak to you again. He's going to grow, build, and you're going to go from 30 to 60 to 100-fold. But he says, he warns, and whoever does not have, meaning does not have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart that understands, even what he seems to have will be taken away from him. We don't want to be that person, amen? We are not that church. We're not that church. We are the people who hear with faith. So notice what he says about the good soiled heart in Luke 8, verse 15. But the one that fell, the seed that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Did you notice what he said? Notice that little preposition there? Isn't that a preposition? With. See that? Those who hear are the good soil. What's good soil? Who hear with a noble heart. Who hear with a noble heart. Did you know that a noble heart does not have to have faith at the beginning? You can be like the Bereans. The Bereans, the Bible said, had a noble heart. They did not know that Jesus Christ was Lord. But they heard the gospel, and guess what they did? They searched it out. They studied the word to find out if this is true. You do not have to beat yourself up because you have questions. You don't have to feel like, I'm a Thomas. Do you know that even Thomas experienced the Lord and believed? We kind of call him doubting Thomas, but actually he believed. The people who don't believe is when they see the testimony, they see the proof, they hear the gospel, and they still don't believe. You, if you have a noble heart, will hear the word and receive it, and you'll keep at it until you get faith. A noble heart keeps at it. Did you see that? with patience, with noble heart, and bear fruit with patience. It's a person who says, look, God's not the problem. See, this is the key. This is the key. You've got to believe, let God be true and every man a liar, says Romans 3. You've got to believe, God, your word is true. And if there's a problem with my faith, it's not your faithlessness, it's my faithlessness. And thank you, Lord, that you have given me the grace, the power of your word, to produce faith in me. That causes you to be tenacious. Because you're convinced, if you catch what I'm trying to say, if you have a noble heart, you're convinced, oh, he wants to get this thing done in my life. Oh, this thing's true. Oh, God is good. And when you see a lack of faith in you, it brings you to a place of humility, a place of confession, a place of repentance that says, oh, Lord, I need you to do this in my life. And then you position your heart to hear the word. So if my first recommendation to you is flood your heart with the word of God, hearing and 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 hearing. The best thing to do is before you have to walk on water, you flood your heart with faith so that you'll actually stay up. But if you find yourself sinking, you go back to Jesus and you hear 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 and you hear. I also recommend that you get very, very specific. See, sometimes you believe God for your finances, but you have a hard time believing God for your healing. Or you can go lay your hands on somebody to heal them, but you can't believe God for your own healing. What I'm saying is, and I'm not saying it should be this way, but we compartmentalize, don't we? And we'll experience God's faithfulness in one area. Woo, I got some fruit. But over here is a barren plot of land. For me, I could believe God for my life. I could believe God for my character. I could believe God for a lot of things. And over the years, I remember being a new Christian. I didn't necessarily have faith for getting free from lust and sin as a new Christian. But as I just cried out to the Lord, pressed into the Lord, he convinced me it was his will. He convinced me that I'm dead to sin, alive to God. And I remember about Christian. Hey, I'm not done. Don't cut out the mic on me here. And faith awakened in my heart. And I believe God wants me free more than I want to be free. And I began to walk in purity, and I have since. Faith came because God revealed himself to me, but I kept giving myself to the word. And what happens is you're going to receive revelation. So the first thing is hear the word a lot. The second thing, you're going to need revelation knowledge from the Lord. But what happens is, I'm convinced, if you'll just flood your heart with the word, he will speak to you. He will give you revelation. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you strategy. He'll give you insight. He'll expose lies. He'll lead you to confess. He'll lead you to repent. He'll lead you to stand on the truth of his promises. He'll do that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. But there's always been areas in my life I needed to keep growing in my faith in. Like for ministry. I knew I was called to ministry, but I didn't have a lot of confidence that God was going to come through for me. I was full of all this self-focus, insecurity. Like, how can I be sure that I will bear much fruit? And as I've pressed into the Lord, what I do is I get preachers, anointed preachers. You need a preacher. You need someone who has faith, who is anointed in that area. And I get preachers who believe God for their ministry, not selfishly, humbly, with love. And I listen to them, and then I search the scriptures, and the Lord speaks to me. And then the Lord begin to renew my mind and begin to show me, it's not about you anyways. It's about my sheep. Get over yourself. And begin to convince me, you didn't call you, I called you. He didn't say like that. That was me with my weird grammar. You didn't call you, I called you. And the Lord began to convince me, you can't fail, I'm with you. You will produce much fruit if you abide in me. And the Lord began to convince me. I still remember, I was going through level 3 for the second time. I was listening to the CDs from level 3 the second time. And I still remember driving down Arrow Highway on my way home. And all of a sudden I realized, man, I've been afraid to fail all these years. And all of a sudden it was like, get off. All of a sudden, my faith got bigger than the lie. The light of God's word shined. Look, I was smart enough to know I had a fear of failure. I was smart enough to know it didn't make any sense. That wasn't the problem. It was my faith. See, you got to be convinced if you don't see the fruit. If you don't see the fruit in your relationships, if you don't see the fruit in your life, in your ministry, if you don't see the power of God, well, it's probably a faith issue. See, so I'm pressing into wholeness. I'm pressing into breakthrough and anointing and fruitfulness. I'm pressing into greater character and greater fruit of the Spirit. I'm pressing in to hear the Lord. And so if I don't see those things, I'm going to go after them because I know they're mine. He's made a covenant and he promised them to me. So I go after them, and it's not my brain that needs to be convinced. It's the hearing of faith that has to get up there, and all of a sudden now I realize, my God is for me. See, now I'm starting to realize, man, I got a covenant with God. But God, I got some bills. Actually, you got some bills. I don't mean that in a haughty sense. I mean, Daddy, I need your help. I would not be leaving everything to go to St. Louis if I did not believe the Lord was with me, if I had not laid everything down. And I figure, I'm already walking on water. Why worry about it now? And I'll tell you, I'm telling you, there are people in the boat. There are people in the boat. They want me to think like people in the boat. Oh, but how are you gonna provide? How are you gonna provide for your family? Dude, if I thought like that, I wouldn't get out of the boat. Oh, but what about this and what about that? If I was worried about the wind and the wave, why did I get out in the first place? I'm just like, come on, just get out of the boat and just do it. But where did that come from? Where did that kind of, and I'm not saying I'm like 100% every day. I just mean I'm learning to, I'm not going to be double-minded. I'm going to walk by faith here. Where did that come from? That came from cultivating it for years. Because I figure, why wait till you get up to the Goliath and then be like, oh, we need to hear the word. We need to fast and pray. No, how about building your faith for the giant before you need to face the giant? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how you hear is essential. James chapter 1 says, hear the word of God with meekness. You come to the Lord with pride and you think you know everything, you're not going to be able to receive revelation. So this is why it's actually two sides of the same thing, and I'll end with this. On one hand, you just got to keep hearing the word. If you're like, but I still have a lack of faith, just keep hearing the word. I'm going to tell you, just keep hearing the word. God's word will do in you what God's word will do. But on the other hand, why is it that a new believer can get like breakthrough so quick? Why is it that like you've been meditating the same thing for like 10 years and you're still not getting breakthrough? And that person right over there, like Emily, you know, Emily like get healed, saved, delivered, and filled with the Holy Spirit like on the same day, okay? Tell Emily I said that. It's like, my goodness, where did that faith come from? You want to know why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You don't need actually to hear for a really long time. You need ears to hear and eyes to see. So a lot of times what's going on when you're not really catching these things is because you're not really hearing the word the way you need to hear it. What I mean is, and very graciously, I'm not saying TV's bad and everything, but sometimes you need to fast. And I'll tell you, a lot of these things are competing for your attention and your affections and your thinking and your time. It's hilarious. If you say, I don't have time to spend time with God, but you got time for media, well, then you know what the problem is. Right there, just be honest. But if you are just pressing into the Lord and you're saying, I want more breakthrough, then how about cutting out the media and maybe even fast food will help too, and cry out for revelation. So flood your heart with the word. Cry out for revelation like Paul says in Ephesians 1. I ask that God would give you revelation. Come to him with humility. You say, I want this thing to happen faster. I want greater breakthrough. And you cut all that other junk out, and you flood your heart with the word of God, and you see what happens. So often we're distracted, and we're flooded with so many other things. All right? Kurt, lead us in response.